Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm Tom Baker, your host for Law and Gospel on this beautiful Friday, the 19th of December in the year of our Lord, 2014. And you know what Fridays are? It's an open mic Friday. In fact, it will be the last open mic Friday for the year 2014 because we're going to be having a vacation in the next 2 weeks. I will be on the air on Monday and Tuesday in the next few weeks, but because, well, Christmas is on Thursday, New Year's Day is on Thursday, we're not going to be here. So we'll look forward to talking to you on Open Mic Friday when we get back next year in 2015, God willing. But right now, let me give out the phone numbers. In the St. Louis area, it's 821-0850. Now, you know that 850 is the station that you turn to on the AM dial, 850. So 821-0850. But anyone in North America, 1-800-730-2727. So it's your last opportunity to ask any questions of a theological nature. I'm not promising I'm going to be able to answer them because I don't have the Bible memorized, but I will be back on Monday and we'll be talking to any of you who might have a question I was unable to answer on Friday. So, Open Mic Friday. Please call in right now. We're sure going to be looking forward to hearing from you. And we see the phone lines are already starting up. And we'll just be with a person in a moment. Let me give the numbers out once more. 821-0850. That's in the St. Louis area. Or toll-free anywhere in North America, 800-730-2727. And that's for any of you right now, so we look forward to hearing from you. Okay, I think we're about ready to go to that first line, and let's see, I'm just waiting for the name. Okay, well, let's see, maybe I'm wrong here, I need to go right to it. Hi, Steve, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah, I was curious. I know God can read our thoughts, but can the devil read our thoughts, read our minds?
This is very interesting. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been tempted by the devil?
Well, I've been tempted. I suppose it was by the devil. I don't know for sure, but I've definitely been tempted.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been tempted by the devil.
Okay.
The devil does not have the attributes of God. In other words, he is not all-knowing, he is not all-powerful, and also he is not all-present. Therefore, he only knows that which God permits him to know. That is to say, therefore, that he's only in one location at a time. He's not omnipresent. So the odds of me being tempted by the devil himself, I have been tempted by devils, but these are the fallen angels. And you know, the devil's going to be careful who he tempts. He's going to probably go after those that are making the most impact. That's why it was the devil who tempted Jesus. But the idea that the devil is everywhere and that he knows your thoughts, that simply is not found in the scriptures.
Okay, good. I've read it cover to cover, but I can't remember everything, so, you know.
Well, this is a good point to make, is that we answer if it's in the Bible, but if it's not in the Bible, and it's very clear that the devil is under the power of God, not vice versa. Look at the book of Job. The devil had to ask permission to do things. And of course, he was even wrong when it came to Job. He said, the only reason Job is nice to you, God, is because you've given him all this family, all this money. He was dead wrong on that. And so the devil didn't even understand Job himself. So he can't read thoughts, but he has the ability to tempt. But like I say, I'd be far-fetched to figure out that the devil ever tempted me. He's too busy. You know how many billions of people are here on the earth, and the idea that
the devil has fallen angels that help him. He can't be everywhere, but there may be other fallen angels that are around different areas. That's what you're saying?
That is exactly right.
Okay, but none of them can read your mind. They're only acting on normal human condition.
Yes. God may allow them sometimes to read your mind or know what you're thinking, but it would have to be permission from God himself. In fact, okay. Some people wonder, why did the devil put Jesus on the cross? Didn't he read Psalm 22, pierced in hands and feet, Isaiah 53, whipped and all this? Why did he do that? Some theologians conjecture that the devil really did not know any of the prophecies of the Old Testament. God kept them from him. But I'm not so sure. I think he's such an evil person that even if he had known them, he thought he had the power to overcome them.
Interesting. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling very much, and we're just going to go down the line here and talk to David. Hi, David. Good to hear from you.
Hi, Pastor. I'm calling from Nashville, Florida, where
yes,
many of you all know probably is the heartland of Baptist country. I was calling because yesterday I was talking with my Baptist friends, and one of them told me, because I did the sign of the cross before I eat, they told me, well, you're part Catholic then, and that means you're not going to heaven. I was wondering what a Lutheran perspective is on that.
Yes. First of all, Lutherans are Catholics. We have a creed. It's called the Athanasian Creed, and it begins by saying, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, because the word Catholic comes from two Greek words, and it's referring to the religion of the whole world. So I'm a Lutheran Catholic. They're Baptist Catholics. Then there are Roman Catholics. But the idea to say that Roman Catholics aren't going to heaven, this is really odd, because for many Baptists, the reason they're going to say that is because they do have an idea that your works count. And I don't understand why they don't think Roman Catholics are going to heaven, because Roman Catholics also had that view that you're saved by faith plus works. But here's the question that you could ask either a Roman Catholic or a Baptist, David, to find out if they're a Christian. And that question is this. When you die and go to heaven, to whom will you give all the credit to for your salvation? And I've discovered that every Christian says Jesus Christ. Roman Catholics, Baptists, Lutherans, Methodists, Presbyterians, Mormons do not, neither do Muslims, because they don't believe that Jesus saved them from their sins. They have other ways of salvation. But that's why I believe a Roman Catholic is a believer in Christ and will be going to heaven, because he believes the promises of the gospel. What happens, they sometimes listen to the church with these doctrines of purgatory and things like that, which actually contradict the faith that they have in their heart. But it doesn't mean they're going to go to hell, therefore. Oh, now, on giving the sign of the cross, I just talked about this on Tuesday, where we were talking about, had Jesus come at a different time of the world, he would not probably have been put to death with crucifixion. He may have been hung. So guess what we would be hanging from our chains around our necks would be nooses. So the fact of the matter is, the point I'm trying to make here is that therefore God came at the time when he thought it was perfect in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophets, and therefore that's why we celebrate Christmas the way we do.
Thank you.
All right, David, thank you very much for calling. And we're just going to move on down the line. Let's talk to Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Pastor Baker. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question. I got a Christmas newsletter from some cousins in Altman Springs, Florida, and the statement that they made in there, that's what my question is based on. They say that Northland Senior Pastor Joel Hunter emphasizes each week that we not only should have knowledge about Jesus, but that we must each make a commitment to personally trust him as Savior and make him Lord of our life.
Yeah, that's what I say to my kids at Christmas. I say, you know, you're not really my kids just because you were born into the family. You better make a commitment to me, and you better consider your mom and I to be Lord of your life. And then we'll consider whether or not we're going to put you in the will. Isn't that crazy? I would not want to have that God, because he's not a God of love. He's a God of justice. He'll only love us insofar as I make a commitment to him. See, that card has everything backwards. God runs the verbs of our salvation. He does all the work. Regardless of the disobedience of my children or their lack of commitment to me in certain areas, and it is rare when it happens, but let's say it does, because it sure happened when I was a kid to my parents, I'm going to turn my back on them and say they're no longer a member of the family? You see how silly that sounds?
Yes.
You want to respond? You got something else on your mind there?
When I first read that, I thought, oh, wow, this is just so wrong. And thank you for your response.
Well, you know, every time I hear false teaching, here's a little principle from a law gospel point of view. If it's coming from a Christian, it will be impossible for them to be consistent with whatever the principle is they're using toward that false teaching. And what you need to do is make an analogy like I just did with this. This was an easy one. You know, I mean, what kind of parent would ever treat their kids the way they think God treats us? This is not a God of love. It's a God of justice who gives you what you deserve. And therefore, the whole concept of grace, namely that we get what we don't deserve, is unbelievable. In fact, I've often thought about really doing contrary Christmas cards. And something I would say, you know, taking into account what you just had there, Cheryl, I would send a Christmas card and say, you know, God really appreciates when we make commitments to him. He really loves us, you know, when we obey his commandments. But guess what? You don't have to do either, because Christ died on the cross for you and heaven is your home. Merry Christmas. Just flip it around on him. All righty.
Well, thank you so much.
God bless you. Thank you so much for calling. And that was Cheryl out of Indianapolis. Anybody else can call. The numbers are 821-0850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. And we're going to go and speak with Marilyn. Hi, Marilyn. You're on the air.
Yes. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
I don't know if you said this past week or one of the other pastors, but it was talking about the thief on the cross when Jesus said, you will be with me in paradise today. And it was like there was a second or a third heaven that they would be going to. And, I mean, this kind of blew me away. I wasn't aware that there were different areas in heaven. And I had one other comment or question.
Yes, you are, Marilyn. You are aware of different levels of heaven. You want me to remind you what you already know?
Oh, okay.
Okay, when you die, where are you going?
Well, my soul is going to go to heaven.
Oh, really? Well, and on Judgment Day, what's going to happen? You are correct. And on Judgment Day, what's going to happen? Your body's going to rejoin with your soul.
That's right.
Okay, there's two kinds of realms of heaven, therefore. In fact, I'll tell you where the third one is. Do you know that you're in the kingdom of heaven right now?
Well,
it's called the Holy Christian Church.
Okay.
You're part of God's family. And so, let's do a little background here. The word paradise was used by some Jewish scholars to talk about the third level of heaven, but that's not what Jesus is talking about. He just uses the term paradise to refer to what we call the interim, when you are in the spirit with Jesus, but not yet in the body. So we don't believe in levels of heaven, but we do believe in different concepts of heaven. You're in heaven here, the kingdom of heaven, the Holy Christian Church on earth. Then your spirit will be in heaven, but that's not the heaven yet you're going to, where your body will be rejoined with your spirit. And so there's kind of three concepts here, three realms of heaven, and we need to keep. By the way, when Jesus talks about parables, you know, he always says the kingdom of heaven is like, he's always referring to the earthly kingdom of heaven, the Holy Christian Church. He's not referring to the interim, nor the time when our bodies are going to join. So you already believe what you're asking, that there are different realms of heaven, and for some reason Jesus uses the word paradise to refer to the one where he is in the spirit on Friday with the thief as they both ascended into heaven. Remember, it is the body of Jesus that went into the grave, not his spirit.
Oh, thank you, Pastor. I have another question.
Go ahead.
Concerning Cain and Abel, I also heard, and this was on Christian radio station before KFUO came on the air, that Cain and Abel, that the one son actually would go directly to hell and the other one to heaven, and that this was all planned ahead of time by God. I'm sure that probably did happen, but it just kind of confused me.
Yes, we do know that Cain, because he had murdered Abel, was sent away with his wives and children to another land. But I'm little ignorant at this point that the Bible makes it clear that he went to hell. You know, God does forgive those who are repentant, and I'm quite sure that Cain would have been. So when we get to heaven, there may be a passage, I'm just unaware of it, as to whether he went to heaven or hell, but that's a good question. I hadn't heard that before, and I'll try and look that up and have an answer for you on Monday.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Well, and a Merry Christmas to you. We say Merry Christmas here. Okay.
Thank you so much.
God bless, Marilyn. Thank you so much for calling. And anybody else can call. Our numbers here are 821-0850. That's in the St. Louis area. And anywhere in North America is 1-800-730-2750. Now, remember, we're still on the 90 days of celebration, even though the anniversary was earlier this week of 90 years of KFUO broadcasting. But if you like to kind of kill two birds with one stone, we'll be very happy to receive funding from you to KFUO. And if you do it in support of Law and Gospel, write your check out to Law and Gospel, the money will go to KFUO. And so, therefore, that's a very important thing that we'd like you to do, because we do owe some money to KFUO. We're down about $7,000 we still owe, and we'd love to have contributions. If you want to do it by credit card or you want to talk to me about it, just go to my website. And we have a new one now for you for just this. It's lawandgospelradio.com. That's lawandgospelradio.com. And you'll find out there how you can actually get some nice gifts, including all of this year's broadcasts for a gift. Let's go back to the phone lines right now and talk to Will in Belleville. Boy, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
what street do you live on, Jill?
No.
Oh, that's too bad. Okay.
Don't drive.
How can I help you?
You know, a disturbing thought about those children. Of course, this happens, but to a smaller extent, often. those children who were killed, 130-something.
Oh, isn't that terrible by the Muslims?
Those children, most of them, I think, were parents who were Muslim, you know.
Yeah.
Now, I think of Romans 10, I think it is, Romans 10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he's God, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Then it goes on about, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Now, those children never heard the name of Christ, know nothing about him. I can't help but wonder how, you know, where do they go from here?
That's an excellent question. It's a question that many Christians ask sometimes when they have a child who dies apart from baptism.
Mm-hmm.
If I tell you where they're going to go, the first thing you should do, Will, is say, okay, where's that in the Bible?
Yeah.
And I cannot find a Bible verse to make clear where they are going to go.
Yeah.
However, we can say that we are bound to infant baptism as the way to bring children into the kingdom of God, but God is not bound to that. In other words, his boundaries are bigger. First of all, we know that there were no children in the Old Testament baptized with a Pentecost baptism, yet they were saved. Now, some people say, well, yeah, but the males, they were circumcised. Well, how about the females? How about the girls?
Mm-hmm.
There's no indication how they were saved, but it appears that being a member of the family, they were saved. Then even in the New Testament book, you have John the Baptizer, who is filled in the womb with the Holy Spirit, as promised by the angel to Zechariah. So it is clear that God can save children apart from baptism.
Yeah.
But there is no clear word from Scripture that he does.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be speculation or personal opinion. And I've said this before on the radio. My personal opinion on children that are aborted is that they are saved.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not speaking as a pastor here. I'm just speaking a personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say one more thing. When I get to heaven and they are saved, I'll be in bliss. If I get to heaven and they're not saved, I'm still going to be in bliss.
Yeah.
I understand the former. I don't understand the latter.
Yeah.
But I know I'm going to have a mind quite different than I have today.
Well, a comforting verse to me, and I don't even remember exactly where it is, but we shall know as we are known. And, of course, we are known. Every detail of our life is known to God.
Yes,
and but we don't have access to the to every thought, to every we simply don't know.
Yes,
but we are promised that we will know, even as he knows us.
Yeah, I have found that anybody who comes up with an assurance of how children who aren't baptized are saved always leads to false doctrine and a wrong view of God.
Uh-huh.
So this is just one of those 10,000 questions where the Bible remains silent on, and we'll just wait till we get to heaven and we'll get the answer. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you very much for calling in, a Merry Christmas to you. And we'll take one more call. This is the last call for Open Mic Friday in the year 2014. Rusty, you're on the air. How can I help you?
Yeah, Pastor, you just talked about the three levels of heaven. When you go, your soul goes to heaven, is it the same heaven that is in Revelations about how the streets are made of gold and the water's crystal clear in that? Or is there like What would be the second part of heaven's what I'm asking about?
Okay, when we're talking about these distinctions of heaven, we're really not talking about different levels, but different ways in which we participate in it. For example, here on earth, you're in the kingdom of heaven, the Holy Christian Church, as I said. There is not much information about what we call the interim, when the spirits are before Jesus Christ. We know they are. In fact, we celebrate that with the Lord's Supper, where we talk about the angels, the archangels, and the whole company of heaven are participating in with Jesus Christ. So I do believe, though, that if you take a look at Scripture, especially 1 Thessalonians and elsewhere, and I found a great passage in Peter, that it is Judgment Day when this world will be destroyed and a new heaven and a new earth will be brought into being. So I do not believe personally that the spirits in heaven right now are in that new creation that God's going to do on Judgment Day. They're waiting for that also. But then there's more explanation of that than there is of the interim time. Is that helpful?
Yeah, I just wanted to know if the second heaven was like with the streets of gold in that, you know? I mean,
yeah, that's definitely
trying to figure out what it's going to be like when your soul goes to heaven is what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah, and like I say, there's just not that much information concerning the interim. We know that the thief on the cross was there.
Right.
And we know that Stephen was there because he said, you know, receive my spirit. And we know that all the spirits of our loved ones who believe in Jesus are there. But in what condition they're in, that's kind of open to somewhat of a speculation. But the streets of gold, etc., that's definitely after Judgment Day. Okay?
Okay, thank you very much, Pastor.
Thank you so much for calling, Rusty, and we're out of time. On Monday, we're going to do what I consider one of the most important phrases in the whole Bible, under the law.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.